This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith, and I'm really glad you tuned in today. We've got a great and a very important show for you. Happy Thursday. It's a beautiful day across the upper Midwest. This is what we're talking about. We're talking today about sexual intimacy in marriage, about God's design for sex, about body image, about making passion a priority, and learning to forgive your husband of porn infidelity, or even forgiving him for simply being insensitive maybe to your needs in a way that really disrupts the intimacy you enjoy in marriage. And I want to say this at the offset. This may not be a show suitable for younger ears, so if you've got little ones around, you might want to get them busy doing something else. And before I bring my friends Julie Slattery and Linda Dillo on, I want to tell you a couple of things first. Yesterday, Tim, we had a show that's going to stand out for me as one of our best. We had Colonel, we called him Chaplain, or Major, but he's now a Colonel, John Morris. He's an Army Chaplain in studio talking about not only our military, but our call as citizens of heaven and citizens of America, what our role is, our posture should be. And as Grace said when she came in the studio after, it was a sacred hour.
It really was. And he is such a humble, godly man. But stands so well and represents our military so well.
Yeah, I mean, really, this isn't just for those who have loved ones in military. It's for
right.
every one of us who call ourselves Christians, who are American citizens. Really, the perspective to have on the nation, the way to engage in dialogue, civil conversation, even with people you disagree with, and really the call to support ministry, military, not forget that they're there. Mm-hmm. And I would that every American would listen to yesterday's show just to hear what this man has to say in the way that he says it. So if you missed yesterday's show, I'm asking you as your friend, go to our website, faithradionet.com, and catch that podcast. I really did have holy goosebumps, and I was in the presence of a hero talking to this man and his conviction for our nation and for people of God who follow Jesus. So check it out. I want to tell you real quick, too, I spoke at the chapel service at Teens Challenge this morning. And Teens Challenge, as you know, is an organization that helps rehabilitate those who are struggling with addiction, adults and teens. And to see these young men and old men and women worship, I mean, when they're singing My Deliverer, they're singing I Want to Be Free, they're almost screaming it because he's their last hope. He is their only hope. I felt so at home, Tim, with these people because I'm that desperate too. You know, we're all that desperate, and God showed up, and I just had to say that it was. I just honor these people fighting the fight to get free from their addiction.
The change that God makes in their lives is just—it's remarkable. Isn't it,
it is, and this is we serve a redeeming God who sets captives free, and I love that in light of today's topic because many marriages are broken and functioning in a broken place because of. You know, women who've been sexually abused or women who just are shut down in intimacy or body image issues or men and women who are missing each other in marriage. Mm-hmm. And so today's topic is another area that we can find healing in because God cares about this area of our lives as well.
That's right. He does. And it's going to be a great show.
It is. So as I said, we're talking about sexual intimacy in marriage, about God's design for sex within marriage, about body image, about making passion a priority in your marriage. These are topics that may not be suitable for younger ears. So just know that if you've got young ones listening and get them busy doing something else. I want to tell you about my guests. They both have been on the show before several times. Love these two women. And together they make an unbeatable team. Dr. Julie Slattery is a Christian psychologist, speaker, wife, and mother. She serves as psychologist at Focus on the Family and co-host of the Daily Broadcast with Jim Daly and John Fuller. She's the author of numerous books, and she's been featured as a speaker at churches and conferences on nationwide radio, including Moody Midday Connection and Primetime America. She and her husband, Mike, live in Colorado Springs and are the parents of three boys. And Linda and her husband, Jody, have been a missionary on three continents and have been married 46 years. She sounds way too young to have been married 46 years. They have four children, 10 grandchildren from 13 down to age 1. They spent 14 years living in Vienna on the edge of Eastern Europe. She is the author of several books, including Calm My Anxious Heart and Intimacy Ignited. As she says, she's had the joy of partnering with the Holy Spirit for this recent book to write, What's It Like to Be Married to Me? We just recently talked with her about that. Today we're talking about authentic intimacy, and you can learn more about Linda on the web at lindadillo.org. Girls, welcome to the show. So great to have you with us today.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Susie.
We're excited.
So they're together in studio at Focus on the Family, so it's just a delight to have them both. Well, as you both know, since you've been on the show before, we open up our interviews talking scripture. So I'm going to talk, Julie, you chose Hebrews 12:16. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as a firstborn for a single meal. Talk to us about that passage.
Well, I think when it comes to sexual intimacy, we don't link Esau and the choices we make. And scripture does this here for us. When you know the story of Esau, that here's a guy who is really hungry and he gives up something that's lasting, his birthright, his inheritance, because he wants a desire satisfied immediately. And when we look at sexual intimacy, both within marriage and outside of marriage, so often we're making choices based on how we feel in the moment that impact that marriage relationship going forward, that impact our relationship with God. And so God's call for us to see sexuality from his perspective is a call to life. He's saying, don't give up the things that are so key just because of how you're feeling in the moment.
Boy, our culture really has really set up the scenario for us to get immediate satisfaction and to forgo delayed gratification, really at our own loss, wouldn't you say?
I would. And it's, you know, you normally think about that in terms of, okay, the teenager who doesn't wait till marriage and they're giving up that intimacy in marriage. But Susie, I think it's also true for the wife who is tired and who has maybe a bad attitude. And so she's giving up God's call for her to be intimate with her husband. You know, there's so many different ways, reading romance novels that aren't glorifying to God, even as a married woman, that you give up the precious things that God has in your future for how you feel in the moment.
Such a good word. We're going to dig into that in just a moment here. But Linda, you chose Ephesians 5, 31-32. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother, is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. That is, you could spend an hour on that passage. Linda, talk to us about it.
I love this passage, Susie, and I really believe that if God's women get a glimpse of what this really means, that it can change how they view sexual intimacy in their marriage. Because what we see here is that the two are going to become one flesh. And in the Greek that the New Testament was written in, that is speaking specifically of the act of sexual intercourse. It's talking about a sexual oneness. And then Paul amplifies this in verse 32. He says, this great mystery, what mystery? This one flesh mystery. It's very great, but he says he's speaking with reference to Christ and the church and the kind of oneness that Christ wants to have with each believer. And women have a lot of trouble with this, Susie, because sexual intimacy is just really earthy. And they say, how can that be a picture of the degree of spiritual intimacy that the Lord Jesus wants to have with me? But if we can wrap our minds and hearts around this, it tells us very specifically that not only is sexual intimacy beautiful from God's perspective, but it's holy. He declares it holy because he says this is the physical picture. If you can grasp the physical intimacy and ecstasy and the close bonding, if you can enter into that, lift your eyes and you'll see the degree of spiritual intimacy I want to have with you. That shows me that he puts his stamp of approval, his holy stamp of approval on sexual intimacy in marriage.
Well, if we
that's
don't
overwhelming.
Really, it is overwhelming. And if we don't understand it on the natural plane, we really won't get it on the spiritual plane to the extent that we can. You know, I post a question every day on Facebook related to the topic, and I asked, what do you think is the most common reason women struggle in intimacy with marriage? And what is the answer? And so many said, you know, disconnectedness emotionally from my husband. If I'm not connected on an emotional level, how am I going to connect on a spiritual level? When you think of that common struggle, and you try to, and then you try to make the leap to God wants to connect with me on an emotional level, you can see where the disconnect is. And so I want to unpack that and spend the rest of our time talking about that. But I just want to pause here because, Julie, you've got an announcement that really does connect with this topic. And so would you share, maybe our friends don't know, recent decisions and developments in your life. Why don't you share where God's been leading you these days?
I would love to. Susie, it's been probably an 8 or 9 month journey of the Lord just calling me to this ministry of reaching out to women on issues of intimacy in their marriage, intimacy with God, and has connected me with Linda here in terms of our hearts just being connected that way. And so I've been praying for several months just about where the Lord is leading, and it became clear recently that He was leading me to leave my position at Focus on the Family and to begin a new ministry with Linda and a couple other women called Authentic Intimacy. And the passion that God's put on our heart is to create content and speak to women in whatever vehicle God gives us, to call them to claim back the beautiful picture that God has for them in their marriage, in their intimacy with the Lord, in their passion and their purity. So we are just taking steps of faith. And my time at Focus on the Family has been such a blessing. I could go on and on and on. And so it's very difficult to let go of the time that God's given me here. But it's a great privilege to be walking in this next journey that we know is from His heart. So we're excited just to see how the Lord brings His truth and His healing to you who are listening, who are saying, I need a safe place to go. I need to know God's truth for my marriage and the difficult things that I'm dealing with in my past and what God's best for me is. So that's the direction He set us on. And this is our first official interview, Linda and I together on this topic. So it's kind of inaugural.
Well, I'm so honored to be the one asking you these questions. And I really honor that big step of faith to leave something that is, I don't know if comfortable is a great word, but it's established, and to take such a leap of faith, but to follow Him. And I honor you for that, Julie, so much. And how many women would you say just live, Christian women who just live with a low level of misery in their sexual life with their husband, and or a brokenness in intimacy? You know, they're pursuing God in other ways, functioning on all different planes, but they just sort of live with a brokenness in this area of their marriage.
Oh, man, to put a percentage on it. Wow.
I don't know. Yeah. It's huge.
And I was one of those women. Really, if I had to be honest, I'd say probably a couple years ago, I mean, the book I wrote, No More Headaches, came out of some of my own struggles. And so we have the gamut from someone who's been sexually abused in their past and is carrying a great deal of pain to women who have made a lot of mistakes as teenagers, young adults, and all that's buried, to things like lack of desire or lack of connection with their husband. You go on and on and on, and when you add all those together, Linda, I know you've worked with so many women, it's almost every woman.
I think it probably is almost every woman, Susie. And one of the biggest things that I see, and this just saddens me, is women don't have God's perspective. They look at the world, and the world is so corrupt. And they see that the world overemphasizes sex. The world exploits the female body. And so wanting to be a godly woman, they say, okay, I'm going to be the opposite of the world. And so I'll have marital relations with my husband under the covers with the lights off after the 10 o'clock news. Mm. And that is just as much a degradation of God's perspective, because He gave us sexual intimacy and He wants us to delight in it. And I say very few women really live abandoned delight with their husbands, but that's what He wants.
You know, and the few that do probably do that under the guise of darkness either. Like, I don't want to admit this. You know what I'm saying? They're not seeing themselves really under the light of God's grace. So this is, you're really going where so few women have gone before. And I appreciate that so much. If you just tuned in, really glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We've got guests. They sound like they're in studio, but they're broadcasting from Focus on the Family. Dr. Julie Slattery and Linda Dillo, who have launched a new ministry, Authentic Intimacy. Now, I understand that 60% of our listeners are men. And so I want to invite calls. You can feel free to be anonymous, men or women. Men, what are your frustrations? What do you want women to know? And maybe you've got questions for our guests. Women, what are your frustrations and what obstacles are you trying to get past? We want to stand with you today and try to answer your questions. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Or you can email me during the show, susie@faithradionet.com. So I want to get into some of the points of your DVD series that you've put together about authentic intimacy that really do cover some of the really important points. But I got a few questions of my own. First is what came up on Facebook. So many women saying, I struggle because he's not connecting with me emotionally, not meeting my needs emotionally. And I know at the end of the day it can go, you know, he said, she said, you go first kind of a thing. But there are women who are worn out, despairing, feeling like he misses me, but he wants sex. What do you say to her?
We're kind of pointing at each other like, do you want to take that one? I guess I'll jump in first. Yeah, I think that is a real, real concern. And sometimes it's not just sex that gets left over. It's working on the relationship.
Yeah.
And so there are some proactive things that a woman in that situation can do, like take the initiative in terms of scheduling a date night. That usually falls on the woman in terms of we need to get a babysitter, we need to have a plan. A lot of times a man won't connect with a woman emotionally because there's just no time. They're living in different worlds. So there's some proactive things. But the other thing, one of the things that I learned, Susie, I lived so many years with that belief that if I wasn't close to my husband emotionally, then that was a reason to just say, well, you know, if we don't have the cake, we don't have the icing on the cake. I'm sorry. Mm. It just has to go together. And one of the things that the Lord has shown me, even in the last few years, is that God has designed sexual intimacy to have my husband connect to me emotionally. Now, from a woman's perspective, we'll say, I can't get into it unless I'm connected emotionally. Now, when we look at the biology, there's actually hormones that are released during sexual intimacy in a man that cause him to bond. The hormone oxytocin, which most of us think of as kind of the motherhood hormone. It makes you love your baby when you see your baby because you have oxytocin. That same hormone is released in a man after sexual intimacy. And so a woman might think in terms of when you are sexually intimate with your husband, all of a sudden he seems really nice to you. He says things like, you're so beautiful. I love you so much. There actually is a biological component to that. And so instead of always feeling like we have to connect emotionally first before I could even be interested in sexual intimacy, there's also the element that sex can be that on-ramp for you to connect with your husband emotionally. So it really goes both ways.
You know, that is, that's, I'm just going to jump in real quick here, Julie. That, and Linda, you've said that on the show before too. That is so key because you hear women often say, you're just using me. But really, he's like, I want to connect with you. And we miss that if we don't understand that piece. Linda, go ahead.
I have a very funny friend. She says things that no one else would say. Hmm. Her name is Darla, and she has something she calls mercy sex. And mercy sex is if she and her husband haven't been that emotionally close, and yet he wants to be sexually close, she says, I just take whatever the issue is and just put it up on a shelf and ask God to give me love for my husband, and we love one another intimately and sexually. And she said afterwards, it's like he's a big teddy bear and he's just able to talk about whatever the issue was because he feels so close to me. And I think she's a pretty smart woman.
Mm, that's amazing. Do you know, one time I spoke at a pretty large retreat and the pastor's wife got up at the end and she said, hasn't God been good? He's met us here in powerful ways. And women, I'm so glad you could be here. She goes, and you hear this from me every year. Girls, go home and make love to your husbands. And my jaw dropped onto my lap. I'm like, well,
that's great.
What did you just say? And women were just all nodding and she gave them the spiritual charge to go home. Mm-hmm. I was awestruck by that because you're just not hearing that very often. Pretty amazing. Okay, so the next point I want to ask before we get into your curriculum is what about the woman who needs inner healing, who one out of three women are sexually abused? That comes into marriage, you know, with a sense of brokenness, and so do women who've been promiscuous. You hear over and over again, it's not the same. Once they come into marriage, it's a broken area rather than what they thought it would be. What do you say?
Susie, I say that I grieve with the women who have been sexually abused because there's no pain so deep as this. And I grieve with those who have made lots of mistakes, who have had abortions or been into pornography or been with lots of men or women. And now they're trying to make something in their marriage. And I'm convinced one of the greatest lies of the enemy is this. okay, when you come to Christ, he cleans up different areas in your life, but there's one area beyond his redemptive healing power, and that's your sexuality. And Susie, that is a lie mm-hmm. from the pit. Mm-hmm. And God is the healer. He is the redeemer. And women think, you know, I just don't deserve a passionate, exciting intimacy in my marriage because I blew it, or I'm so wounded I can't be healed. But God is the healer. And I just speak to everyone, man and woman who's listening, don't buy into that lie from Satan. God is the redeemer, and he can heal instantly. I have seen him do it. He often heals through a process and through other people coming alongside, but seek his healing because passion is for you. Exciting intimacy is for you, and it can be.
You know, I'm so glad you said that, because for years we had broken this in this area of our marriage because of some things with me that happened to me. But it was when the light bulb went on that a possibility of healing was possible that faith came on the scene. But as long as you believe it's not possible for me, you'll never be open to the potential of God's healing. And it is amazing. You can get this land back. You can. And we're going to break in about 5 minutes. So I want to make sure I take this call. And we've got somebody else who called in about 50 Shades of Grey. And I know you've got some comments about that. You can be anonymous in your questions and comments today. We're tackling something pretty tricky. As I said, it's not suitable for young ears. Love to hear from you, though. 877-933-2484, 1-877-933-2484. Email your questions as well, Susie@faithradionet.com. Got an anonymous caller from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Welcome to the show. We welcome your question.
Hello, this is I'm from Sioux Falls, and I just have a question for the gals about intimacy anorexia. I don't know if you've heard of that before, but I found out just a year ago from watching a TV program. It was very well done, and it answered all my questions that I'd had for many, many years. I've been married for over 30 years, and I knew that my husband had lots of problems with pornography in the past, and didn't really know exactly where he was at, but from what I could see, you know, we hadn't been having any kind of intimacy for many years. And before that, it had been real off and on. So I knew something was really wrong. But after seeing that program, it was just amazing. It did create a lot of anger in me, because in that situation, you get a lot of blame. And that's what was really eating my life up. But God has really upheld me. And I'm at the place right now where I'm just saying, okay, Lord, what would you have me do? And so I feel like I'm in school right now, and so I'm open to whatever information anybody has concerning that.
Do you need clarification, girls? We're going to be at a hard break in 3 minutes, and so you might have to carry your answer over to the other side.
Sure.
But if you have questions for her to get clarity on what she's asking, go ahead.
Yeah, well, let me just clarify. When you say intimacy anorexia, you put those. Are you just saying that there's absolutely no intimacy within the marriage, sexual intimacy?
Yes. And
okay.
What this is it's an addiction to withholding. And basically,
okay.
These people withhold everything from you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like intimacy / sexual anorexia, and stems from pornography. Some of it could stem from apparent wounds. There's other things too, but I think that's what I'm mostly dealing with.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for being honest, because a lot of men and women are traveling the road that you're traveling. And I know Susie will unpack this more after the break. But part of it is realizing when we talk about, for example, anorexia, that's withholding from something you need to survive, which is food. And a lot of Christians don't think about it this way, but a marriage needs intimacy, sexual intimacy, to survive. It's part of what God has designed. And so when there is a withholding, there's a lack of desire, there's a lack of connection, the very first step is to realize that that in itself is a problem. That's not normal. That's not God's design. And getting a vision for what Linda started with that passage in Ephesians, is that there is something good and holy and healthy about a couple working towards that intimacy.
Linda, do you want to add anything?
I just would like to pray for this woman, and I don't know if there's time to do it now, but I just would like to pray for her and for her husband.
We've got about a minute, if you can do that.
All right. Mm. Oh, my Father, my heart breaks over the deep pain that I hear in this precious woman's voice. And Lord, the pain that her husband's actions mm-hmm. reveal about him. And I ask you to pour hope into both of their lives and to pour healing, God. You are the healer. And as Julie said, Lord, would you help this dear husband to admit that there is a problem and that he needs help? God, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the healer, who comes with healing in his wings, to heal this man, this intimate relationship, because you love them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you in Jesus' name that you are the healer.
Yes, amen. Lord. Amen. More with Dr. Julie Slattery and Linda Dillo talking about authentic intimacy. We welcome your calls, 877-933-2484. More with the girls in just a moment.
You're my beloved, you're my bride. To sing over you is my delight. Come away with me, my love.
You know what? There's no pain so deep that God's love and healing power is not deeper still. And I believe, Julie and Linda, that you're shedding light on a lie of the enemy, that when we've been abused, when we've been wounded, when we've even been neglected by our spouses, that there's no way across from here. But there is. And with God, there is. And then when you shine the light on that there is healing to be had in these areas, God can bring marriage to a place we never dreamed of, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's so true, Susie. And these issues carry so much shame with them that women don't know how to even get there. They don't even know how to begin speaking the kind of lies that they're believing, like, I don't think I could ever have intimacy with my husband, or I don't think I can ever get past the woundedness. And so part of it, as you're saying, shedding the light, is even just breaking the enemy's power of that shame, that you are not alone in your struggle, that there are many who have gone down this road and found the Lord's healing, and that his desire is to bring it to you.
Mm. Wow, it's just powerful. If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Dr. Julie Slattery and Linda Dillo about authentic intimacy, about healing, sexual healing in marriage and God's design and even body image and recovering the land the enemy has stolen, and even how you forgive your spouse after addiction to porn, infidelity, or just for daily neglect where you feel he misses you. We're going to unpack all that. Really, we need a two-hour show today because I feel like we're barely scratching the surface. But one more question before we get into your content is body image. In light of the cultural stigma of perfection, it's really false perfection because even these perfect-looking models are airbrushed. How do we as women get comfortable in our own skin enough to feel comfortable with our bodies when we're talking about intimacy and marriage?
Well, you can't really see Linda, but she's a perfect 10.
Oh, right.
She's
right.
Never dealt with.
Yeah, and Julie is too. You know, yeah. We just have no issues.
So you'll have to
ask
someone else.
You can't relate. Okay, well,
you know,
I'll
Susie,
jump in.
I've never met a woman who doesn't have issues. Have you?
No, I haven't. No.
I really haven't. And yet, you know, I'm older. So I've lived a lot of years and I've watched a lot of women. And sometimes the most beautiful woman, she looks like she stepped off a magazine cover, comes in to talk to me, and she looks at me, and my husband doesn't want me. I don't know how to respond to him sexually. And I'm looking at her and thinking, if I looked like you, and then a woman who isn't a perfect 10 just says we have the most exciting relationship. And Susie, what Julie and I tell women is it really isn't as much about what you have as what you do with what you have. And let me give you an example. A woman wrote me and she said, I've been married 40 years. I've got stretch marks from 3 babies. I've got cellulite. Everything has sagged, and yet as my body has fallen, my expertise as a lover has risen. Now, Susie, that is a smart woman.
Mm. Yeah, I think some of it, Susie, is even believing what our husbands will say. You know, there are some women who are married to men who are hung up on this issue of you have to look perfect, but most of us are married to guys who are very grateful to have a wife who pursues them sexually, who's willing to learn, who's willing to grow in that area. And when he says, your body turns me on and you're beautiful to me, why do we as women say, no, that can't be true?
Apparently you're blind.
Yes, apparently. Why don't we
who are you looking at?
Why don't we just say, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lord, that my husband can overlook my physical flaws and be enraptured with my love. And if you're married to a man who consistently tells you, you're enough for me, you're attractive to me, thank him, thank the Lord, and believe him. And as Linda said, begin thinking about how do I use the body that I have, whatever it looks like, to fulfill my husband and to enjoy the intimacy that God gives.
Yeah, you know, and it seems that men, you know, I want to say this the right way, but if we're attentive to them, their eyes for perfection get, I don't want to say they go blind, but it's like you tend to their needs.
Well, sort of.
You know what I mean?
Sort of. They do go blind.
Yeah. They don't see the impact of gravity on you because they're so, you know, caught up with your love for them. Well, we have a caller here that called in and said, we need to take these lessons and pass them on to our children, especially our sons. We need to teach them that women are not sexual toys. How do you do that in this culture?
Well, you and I, Susie, both have 3 boys, mm-hmm. right? So yep. We've been through this. I'm in the midst. Two of mine are teenagers right now. But I think being intentional, you know, it's one thing to say to a young man, don't look at a movie like this, or don't look at photos like this, or pornography is bad. But when you start making the connection for them that there's a person behind this image, and very likely it's a person who's being abused. It could be a woman who's been abducted, even a young girl. And that pornography is a type of slavery, not just for the man who's stuck in that, but also for the women behind it. And the same, you know, that's the extreme case, but the same is true for a young man who would take a girl on a date for the purpose of exploiting her, to begin thinking that that's someone's daughter and that's someone's future wife and that's somebody that God created. Mm-hmm. And so often we skip past those kind of conversations and those kind of statements and we just say, stay pure, don't look at this, don't do that, without connecting, because this is a person. Mm-hmm. And this is something that breaks the heart of God and will have consequences, not just for you, but for other people.
You know, that topic right there, we need to devote a whole show. In fact, my brain is turning and thinking, I need to have you on once a month, and we need to talk about these things because there's so much here, and I can't believe how fast the time's going. So let's dig into your content, because you're producing a DVD called Authentic Intimacy. Do you know when that will be available, by the way?
Well, we are in the midst of editing. We're going to be filming this fall. You know, initially, Susie, we thought that the Lord was just calling us to do this DVD. And as we started ministering this area, it became apparent that God has authentic intimacy as a whole ministry. So this particular DVD, we're thinking, will be released maybe a year from the fall. In the meantime, we'll be creating a lot of content and wanting to connect with you online, starting with Facebook, and then we're getting a website up and running. You can connect with Authentic Intimacy right now and even through Facebook. But we just want to provide hope and healing, not just through this DVD, but from interacting with women who are saying, I need a place to go. I need a place to find truth. I need to connect with someone who knows which direction I should go, or who has been down this road before.
I might be wrong about this, but I'm thinking lots of husbands will financially support this ministry.
We're hoping
I think
so.
You may be right.
Yeah, my husband's
guess.
First in line.
Exactly. Where do I sign up? Okay, so one of the points that you cover is I've got the power. You're saying women have the power. Wives, you have power. We need to know that, because we can wrongly wield that power. Say a word about that.
Well, let's start even with the idea of sexuality. As a wife for many years, I thought about sexual intimacy as something that I had to do as a good Christian wife, and I had to please my husband even though I was absolutely exhausted. And the Lord started to show me that this is actually an area of great power for me. We often think of power as a bad thing, as something that used to manipulate or dominate someone, and some wives do that. But God's design for the power you have as a wife to attract your husband, to get his attention, to fulfill him like no other woman on the planet can fulfill him, is a godly thing. It draws him to your side. It draws him his attention to you. It draws him back home. And so we're trying to teach women and live out in our own marriages that the power you have as a wife, starting with sexual intimacy, starting with your physical attractiveness and how you use that, is something that is God-given, and it's for the purpose of helping your husband grow as a husband.
You know something go ahead, Linda, go ahead.
No, that is in Scripture very clearly, mm-hmm. that sex is an area where a wife has power, but she has power because we read in Genesis that a husband needs a companion. He needs his wife not just to be his lover, but to be his best friend. So that gives a woman power. And we see that God built men with a respect gap within them, and their wives are to fill that by respecting them. And so I think those three areas, respect, companionship, and sexual intimacy, a wife has huge power over her husband, and God wants us to use it just to build intimacy.
And that's such a privileged role. You know, when that hit me so much is when I had my third son. I had these three little tow-headed boys, and my hubby has a wonderful, beautiful mom who's suffering with Alzheimer's now, but in that stage of life, looking at the love that I had for those boys and trying to imagine some little bimbo calling them an idiot. if I can just say that straight. But picturing later in life, some girl rolling her eyes at him because he threw his socks on the floor for the umpteenth time. And I felt in just a moment this awesome responsibility, even before God, but even before my husband's mom, that I would be someone who would honor him as I want girls to honor my sons. Really, it was like I was bookended with it. And I thought, I've got an incredible privileged position here, and how I handle the everyday things. I cannot let the everyday stop being sacred. Love for you to comment on that, our role as women, as you said, Linda, not just sexually, but in that role that we walk alongside them.
And Susie, whether it's teaching our sons about respecting a woman, whether it's teaching our daughters about body image. I have two sons and two daughters and five grandsons and five granddaughters. So I've got both kinds. But I remember when my oldest son called me, and all his life he had said to me, "Mom, you are my greatest encouragement." And he called me long distance. We were in Hong Kong and he was in Washington, D.C. And he said, "Mom, I can't wait for you to meet Deirdre. She's my greatest encouragement." Well, first it felt like a knife going in my heart. But then I said, "God, this is what I have hoped, to train him to choose a woman who would encourage him." And there are so many things we could say about all of the different topics we're discussing. But a lot of it, Susie, is what you're saying. You're modeling it in your home for your sons. You can say all the words possible, but if they don't see you and your husband living it out, it doesn't mean a lot. So it starts with us.
Such an important word. And as I'm looking at these points, you've got 10 points in your DVD. I truly mean this. If you're available, I want you to come back once a month, and we could devote a whole show to each of these. But I want to touch on a few because they're so important. One of them is that God has an opinion about sex. Julie, I'll start with you. We need to understand that God has an opinion so that we can know that healing and even abundance in our sexual relationship with our husband is a possibility. What is God's opinion about all this?
Well, he thinks it's great. You know,
what a relief.
He's for it. Some of it is a light bulb even going off for me as we've been studying this, as I've been learning from Linda and teaching this material. I think that there are many years in my marriage where I felt like God was kind of neutral about sex, even at best. You know, even for a married couple, that God would kind of have to look the other way, like, oh yeah, they have to do that again. I can't watch. But when you read scripture, you know, the Song of Solomon, when you read the passage in Ephesians 5, when you look at all of scripture, there's all this evidence that God is saying, I created this as a sacred, holy gift. And for you to enjoy between a husband and wife, but it's more than that. It has shadows, as Linda's talked about at the very beginning of the program, shadows of the intimacy that God longs to have with his people. Susie, one of the things that I discovered within the last few months that really was so encouraging to me was the word that's used in the Hebrew for sexual intimacy is the word yada. And it means to deeply know, to be pursuing. And it's the same word that's used in the Hebrew when it talks about knowing God and God knowing us. Many of the Psalms that talk about God's intimate knowledge of us is yada. So why would God choose the same word for sexual intimacy between a husband and wife, to exactly the same word, to communicate the kind of knowing that we long to have with him, that he longs to know with us? So part of it is understanding that God's opinion is that this is not just something fun, it's pleasurable, it's a gift, but it goes beyond that, that it's a shadow of something. It's the longing that he created for us to be known so intimately by our husbands, but also to be known so intimately by him.
Well, I want you to say a word about this 50 Shades of Grey. And Linda, I'll start with you because there are, you know, seasons in life and ups and downs in romantic intimacy. And these movies that go to sex 0 to 60 miles an hour, you know, in 60 seconds. And these, even what I've heard about this book, just reading a few articles on it, that it's actually literary porn. And Christians are reading it. I just checked before the show. It is number one on Amazon. It's mind-boggling. And one of the callers said that a non-believer she knows is aghast that Christians are actually reading this. So explain why this is an issue in light of the real ups and downs in marriage. You know, it's not going to always be bliss for us. It's something we're going to have to work at, make time for. So make the case there, if you would, Linda.
You know, marriage is real life. It's living in the good times, the bad times. It's when sexual intimacy is so pleasurable, you have no words to describe it, so intimate that you just feel deeply loved. And it's when you don't feel deeply loved, or things just aren't going in any area of your marriage the way you want them to. But God wants us to look to him and to work through those and not go look for a quick fix. And the 50 Shades of Grey is not only a quick fix or for women going to what is pornography for them, because what's in our minds and what we think about is very alluring to us as women, sometimes more alluring than a picture. And, you know, what I've read, Susie, about the 50 Shades of Grey is that it's being called mommy porn, that it's what mommies are reading to give them the excitement that is not in their marriage. But it really is female pornography. And yes, many Christian women, Julie and I met with a Christian woman for lunch last week, and she said, oh, lots of my Christian friends are reading it. Here in Colorado Springs, that we have a lot of Christians here, there are 1,000 women on the waiting list to get the book from the library. Mm. The trilogy, books 1, 2, 3, are 1, 2, and 3 on the New York Times bestseller list. Women are buying this. They're meeting in groups to discuss it. And I asked Julie last week, I said, maybe I should read it so we're not just reading reviews, but I really know what it is. But I've gone before the Lord. Do I want those things in my mind? Do I want to live with them? Because often you can't get them all out of your mind. I just appeal and plead with women listening to this program, please do not read this. Really, It is mommy porn.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And it really is such a, not even a slippery slope, but a black hole based on what understanding about it. And it's so scary.
Yeah.
And boy, you know, freedom comes with boundaries, you know, our freedom in our marriage and our freedom before the Lord. Free to enjoy great sex with our husband means that there's boundaries. You know, even freedom in our country, there's laws. You break the laws, you go to jail and you lose your freedom. And so to take a liberty in such an area is so scary. Mm-hmm. Boy, this time is going so fast, and I'm going to jump ahead a few points here and talk about forgiveness, because you talk about it being a secret choice. Forgiveness is extremely important when you've got a husband maybe who's dealt with porn, infidelity. But even on an everyday level, it would seem forgiveness would be one of the greatest barriers to intimacy in marriage. So, Julie, we'll start with you. Talk about why forgiveness is so important when it comes to intimacy.
Well, a part of it is when you have been hurt and when you've been sinned against, and it might be your husband who sinned against you in the ways that you've mentioned. It might be someone in your past who sinned against you, or it might even be that you can't forgive yourself. It's almost like you take a part of who you are, you take a part of your marriage, and you seal it off. And you make a silent vow that maybe you never knew that you really made, where you say, I will never be hurt like this again. I will never offer my heart to this person like I did before again. I might give them my body every now and then. I may give part of who I am, but I will not make myself that vulnerable. And when you've made that choice, and again, a lot of women, a lot of you listening right now are not even aware that you've said those words, but you've made the vow in your heart. You can't be intimate. Again, you might be exchanging body fluids. You might be sharing a bedroom together, but you're not sharing all of who you are. And God's design for sexual intimacy is that not only you give your body, you give your heart, you give your spirit, you give your thoughts, you're one flesh, you're one together. And so as you move towards authentic intimacy, as you move towards that design that God has for you of deep yada, you have to say, okay, what part of myself have I been withholding? What part of myself have I made secret vows that I would never be free from again? And Satan loves to keep you shackled in that way. And God's design is to say, I have an answer for you. When I died to free all of you. I died to free the things that have hurt you in your past. I've died to restore the brokenness, the mistakes you've made. And I've come to set you free. And forgiveness is that route, both forgiveness of how to receive God's forgiveness in your own life, and how do I begin extending that to someone who's wounded me deeply.
Wow. Well said. How about you, Linda? Do you want to add anything to that?
I just would like to tell you very briefly about a woman who put a stake in the ground because she tried to forgive her husband for having an affair with her best friend. Mm. The images were in her mind. How do you forgive something like that? And she would say, I forgive him, I forgive you. And then 2 days later, she would be filled with anger. And she said, God, show me how to put a stake in the ground that I can go back to. And she called her husband into the bedroom, Susie, and she took off all of his clothes and she got a bottle of anointing oil and anointed his head and said, I forgive you for thinking thoughts of her. She anointed his ears. I forgive you for listening to her. His mouth. I forgive you for speaking to her. His hands. I forgive you for touching her. Susie, she went down his whole body and anointed it and said, I forgive you. Mm. And she ended up on her knees, weeping as she anointed his feet and said, I forgive your feet for walking toward her. Wow. And he fell to his knees and they embraced, and it broke. It broke the shackles of bitterness and a lack of forgiveness. Did she never think about it again? Of course she did. But she said, God, I remember that day I put a stake in the ground. But Susie, that was one brave woman, but it brought renewed intimacy into their marriage.
This again and again, as I consider the things you're saying, this is not for sissies. This is not for the faint of heart, because the enemy has fought hard to take this land from us. So it takes a certain amount of grit and humility and a willingness to lay our lives down, to lay hold of what God has for us, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and Susie, sexuality is so important. And we know it is so important because the enemy is working so hard to take every inch of ground from God. And, you know, from the 50 Shades of Grey and pornography and what's all over our media, all the way to the terrible attitudes women have, the way we hurt each other with sexuality, the way men exploit women and little girls. You look at all of it, and Satan has staked his claim and said, I am taking this from God, and I'm distorting it in every way that I can. And God's heart is to take that back, not just in our society, but in your marriage and in your heart. And he's big enough and he's strong enough, and he created this. And that's what we are so passionate about, is bringing his truth and his healing to women, individuals at a time, marriages at a time, and saying God's design is for this to be pure for you, for this to be redeemed, for things to be forgiven. And we serve a God who is great enough to do that.
We do indeed. And the very fact that God has raised you both up is just testament of he's taking his land back. You know, we know of traffic victims who repeatedly raped, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times, who've been restored, who get married. Yeah. And I mean, it's a miracle. And if God can redeem them, he can redeem you. He can redeem you from a grudge you've got against your husband. I mean, this is possible. And we just have a little bit of time. I wonder if you'd take a minute, Linda, and tell us, what is a smoking hot mama? Hey, it's in the DVD curriculum. I didn't make this up.
It is. And, Susie, let me just say that it's a DVD curriculum with a workbook. And we teach, but then the women go home and get in God's word and apply it to their own marriages. And it...
Well, we have about... I have about 30 seconds left for you to share what this is.
All right. So the smoking hot mama is the bride in the Song of Solomon. And I asked Julie to read the Song of Solomon and tell me what she learned about the bride. And she said, she is a smoking hot mama. She is adventurous.
She's my new role model. I don't know why people keep talking about the Proverbs 31 woman. Yeah. I mean, this woman's got it going.
And I think most husbands would rather have a smoking hot mama.
That's exactly right. Than one who can sew, which is such a relief to me.
Me too.
Yes.
Well, this time has been just treasure. It's just been a treasured time, girls. I appreciate it so much. And as we wrap up, Julie, I'll ask you, I know there's someone listening. She feels like damaged goods. She feels defective when it comes to intimacy. But there's a flicker of hope in her soul now. I can be healed. I can cross over to the other side. Would you pray for her, Julie?
I would love to. And God, we know that flicker of hope that the woman listening right now is feeling is not because she heard a radio broadcast, but because you are after her. You are after her with your love, with your healing, with your desire for her to have wholeness. And God, I pray that you would be with that woman right now and show her what the next step is, calling out to you, maybe meeting with a counselor or a friend. But Lord, bring her hope and bring her healing. Thank you that you love her so much.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Linda and Julie, God bless you. I honor you. And thank you so much for sharing so candidly with us today.
Thank you, Susie.
It was a joy.
Always is a joy. Please come back next month. I really ask you to do that, but you can answer me off the air if you want. All right, I'm going to leave you with this. This is from Song of Songs. It says, my lover said to me, rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one. Look, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. The flowers spring up. The season of singing birds has come, and the cooing of turtle doves fills the air. The fig trees are forming young fruit, and the fragrant grapevines are blossoming. Rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one. My dove is hiding behind the rocks, behind an outcrop on the cliff. Let me see your let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and you are lovely. You know, may God heal and restore every part of us so that we no longer feel the need to hide, so that we can respond to our Savior's voice when he says, come out from your hiding place, quit hiding, because your voice is sweet and you are lovely. I want to bring healing to you and your marriage, to your sense of identity. I can do that. Would you let me do that? And I pray you will, and I pray you were blessed and challenged by today's show. Well, you've been listening to Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I'm so glad you tuned in today. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. Give us a couple of minutes, and here's one again I'm asking you to share. And while you're there, share yesterday's show, too, because it's really an honor to be a citizen of heaven, an honor to be a citizen of this great country. And yesterday's show will bless you as well. Both of those are up on podcast at faithradionet.com. Tune in tomorrow. I'll have in-studio national recording artist Matt Maher. He's going to share some music with us. He's going to sing while he's in studio and share about his own faith journey. Hope you'll join us tomorrow. That's tomorrow on Live the Promise. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And he's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a blessed day.